Hebrews chapter 6 verses 9 to 20 we're reading. If you've got the church Bible, it's on page 1173. ...of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.
Good morning and Happy New Year. Wonderful to be gathered together with you on the Lord's Day today, on the first day of this year. Being able to gather together to focus our hearts and minds on the Lord Jesus, I think that's a wonderful way to start the year. Let me pray, and then we'll have a look at God's Word. Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful grace to us. We thank you for your Word, and we ask that as we look at it now, that you would speak into our hearts the truth of your Word, that you would draw us to you through Christ, that you would grow and establish us firmly connected to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how are you feeling about 2023? Do you have any hopes for this year? I don't know about you, but like thinking back, I feel like there's been a lot of turmoil in the world over the last few years. The pandemic's obviously been a big major factor behind, I think, a lot of the turmoil. 2022's now over. Perhaps it feels like we can finally just leave COVID behind and, you know, just head on. No more lockdowns or restricted gatherings, mandated, you know, mask wearing or vaccine requirements. You know, people will choose to do that kind of stuff. But basically we have freedom to just work out what's appropriate for us. And the safety of others. Perhaps some of you have some great hopes for 2023. I hope so. I'm not much of one for kind of setting New Year's resolutions or anything like that. I know today is just, you know, one more day from, you know, ahead of yesterday. But for some reason, this kind of tick over into the new year still kind of feels like a fresh start, doesn't it? There's kind of new horizons ahead, probably because we, you know, organize our lives around a calendar year. It's probably why it feels like that. You know, I'm really happy to be this side of COVID. When we went into the new year last year, COVID was still ahead. So I'm really happy to be where we are. Hopefully we won't be disrupted as much. Yet it doesn't feel like, to me, like the rough waters that we've been going through the last few years are going to calm down yet. You know, political issues are still going to divide many people. Inflation has just spiked to its highest in about 30 years. Perhaps there's more financial difficulties in the year ahead. There's continual erosion to religious freedom in our nation, with events like, you know, those surrounding Andrew Thorburn and the Essendon Football Club last year. It seems like the temperature's kind of rising against Christians a little bit. Maybe you look at the world and you're worried about the times ahead. To some degree, I do worry. I think it's going to be rocky. Perhaps you're more hopeful than I am. But probably you have more personal hopes or fears about this year. For all of us, it's our personal situations that probably affects our outlook the most. Whether it's related to family or health, whether it's work or study or so on, whatever it is, there's certain things we're probably looking ahead to this year. For every one of us, that's going to be different. Will 2023 be kind of smooth sailing, or can we expect some rough waters and stormy weather? This morning, I just want to look at two ideas from the book of Hebrews that are these metaphors around kind of related to the sea. But before I look at them, let me just kind of get you situated into the book of Hebrews. Many have noted that the book of Hebrews is basically like a sermon being preached to people. And it's written to Christians who are on the verge of falling away. They seem to be ready to return to or retreat to Judaism, to leave Jesus behind and go back to a Jewish way of living or to Judaism itself. The preacher says, don't do it. Hold firm to Jesus, the preacher of Hebrews, that is. That's the message for us too. Or maybe for some here, the message this morning is, you need Jesus. Take hold of the hope that comes through him. Whether you need to hold firm to Jesus or whether you need to come to Jesus, the reason is the same. Because of who Jesus is and what he's done. The Hebrews preacher focuses us, or the reader, on the superiority of Jesus and the service of Jesus. He shows them, if you just go to the next slide for me, yep. He shows them that Jesus is far superior to what they're actually looking back to Judaism. In chapters 1 and 2, Jesus is superior to the angels. In chapter 3, Jesus is worthy of greater glory than Moses. But the key way the Hebrews preacher wants us to think about Jesus, and this is the unusual one, we don't normally think of him this way, the key way to think about Jesus in Hebrews is his service as a high priest. A high priest is the one who's a mediator between the people and God, the one who brings the people into access with God. In chapter 7 to 8, Jesus is shown to be greater than the high priests who had come from the tribe of Levi, that is the Levitical order of priesthood. But the issue is Jesus isn't from the tribe of Levi, so he's made a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. You would have seen that at the very end of our passage. And that's according to a promise God made in the Old Testament. And then as you go through thinking of this issue of Jesus' high priestly service, the Hebrews preacher shows us that Jesus provides a better hope than the law could provide. A hope that does actually allow us to draw near to God. Jesus is a guarantor of a better covenant than the covenant of Moses. Jesus brings in the new covenant that was promised in the Old Testament. A covenant is simply a commitment, a legal binding commitment that God has made with humans. Jesus has a better priestly ministry to the Levitical priests. Jesus provides a better sacrifice than the Levitical high priest could. In chapters 8 and 9 of Hebrews, the preacher compares the earthly tabernacle, this kind of tent that Moses was told to make in the wilderness, and he compares this one with a heavenly sanctuary. The tabernacle had to be made according to the pattern that Moses was shown because it corresponded to what's in heaven, a holy place or sanctuary in heaven where God dwells. And it's in this heavenly sanctuary where Jesus has entered with his own blood, not the blood of animals. And he has made the way open for us to come to God. Just as we heard in the book to the kids earlier, in the garden, the garden, the curtain and the cross. Jesus says, because of your sin, you can't come in, But I died on the cross to take your sin so that all my friends now can come in. We can now live with God forever. There will be nothing bad and no one sad. See, Jesus actually is the only way to get access to God, to get to Him. And so with that context of the book of Hebrews, let me focus on just these two images from the book. The first one is the image of drift. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 2. We didn't read this one. Let me read it out for you. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1. It says, "We must pay careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment," that's a reference to the Mosaic law, this message coming through angels, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation which was first announced by the Lord, that's Jesus while he was on earth, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. That's the apostles and the eyewitnesses of Jesus. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So in these last few verses, there's three witnesses to this message we need to pay attention to. The Lord Jesus, the apostles, and God through his Spirit, who confirmed the message through signs, wonders, and miracles. But the warning here is about drift. Do not drift away like something that's not attached to Jesus. How does someone drift away from Jesus? Very slowly, little by little. Let me do a thought experiment with you for a moment. Let me warn you up front, it's not a very pleasant thought experiment, but I think it's helpful. Someone got me to do it a little while ago, and I think it's helpful. It was helpful for me. We're at day one of 2023. I want you to imagine in 3 to 5 years' time, if you're a believer, you're no longer walking with Jesus. What do you think it would take to cause that to happen? Very likely, it would not be some huge catastrophe in your life. When Christians go through great hardship, it can just as often draw them closer to God as they rely on Him rather than away from Him. More likely for lots of us, it will just be a very slow drift away from Jesus. Can you think of two or three things that might cause you to drift away from Jesus if you're trusting in Him? What causes spiritual drift? Let me give you four examples of this that could be a cause of drift. One is compromising sin. Hebrews 3, verses 12 to 14 says this, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Not dealing with things that you know are wrong in your life. That's what will cause it. Think for a moment what that might be. Do you need to make a refreshed commitment today about it? And every day, there's things that I commit to every day that I say, "Lord, don't let this take me. Please help me commit today to stay on top of this." Ask daily for God's help and strength to renew you and sustain you in that battle. The second example I've got is a gradual separating from Christian community. Hebrews 10:25 warns about not being like those who give up meeting together. But the point is that Christian community can spur each other on to keep going. And did you notice in the mutual responsibility to each other that the previous verses in chapter 3 that I read says there? It's in those previous verses, it says, "See to it that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart, but encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Hebrews expects, the Bible expects us to be in community, committed to helping each other continue on and to keep going. A third one is worldly priorities that result in a sluggish commitment to God. Hebrews 6, 11 to 12 says, "We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." Hebrews 11, a little later on, gives a whole catalogue of Old Testament people who persevered in faith, persevered diligently by faith. A sluggish commitment to God can easily lead to drift. My fourth cause, as an example of drift, is a mind filled with just worldly teaching. It closely relates to the previous one. I hope you recognize that everything that we watch and listen to and read, it's not entirely neutral. Films and Netflix series, YouTube, podcasts, music artists, novels, magazines, newspapers, it's all teaching us all the time. And it's not that these things are sinful or that to partake in them is sinful, but we need to recognize that as we keep filling our mind with what that's teaching, very often it has a different worldview. It's pulling us in different directions to the way God wants us to go. We need to recognize the danger of drift from those ones. What I've certainly experienced in my life is if I've ever, I don't know if you've ever done this, if you ever binged watched a TV series, when you get to the end of it with my mind just kind of immersed in this other world, the real world feels less real. You ever experienced that? Or it just feels dull. If the real world feels less real, perhaps because we're escaping to entertainment or something like that, it can leave us feeling less certain about our faith in God, the God who has acted in the real world through Jesus. The warning about drift in Hebrews 2:1, it actually gives us the remedy. Verse 1, "We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard." What is it that we've heard? Well, the message that was announced by the Lord, that was confirmed by the apostles, that was testified to by the Holy Spirit, that the gospel, the message about Jesus, that's what we've heard, and that's what we've got to pay close attention to day by day, that we don't drift away from it. We do that as we continue to keep check of our sin, as we continue to gather in community and commit to serving God. Don't allow drift to take you away from Jesus. The second image from Hebrews I want you to consider is an anchor for the soul. You saw this in the passage that was read earlier. Hebrews 6:19 says, "We have this anchor, have this hope, sorry, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." What is this hope? Well, it's what God held out in his promises to Abraham in verse 13. This promise is what's inherited by those who have faith and persevere. And in verse 14, it states part of what is promised. "I'll bless you and give you many blessings." This is talking to Abraham. But it's actually a quote from the Old Testament, from Genesis chapter 22, where God speaks to Abraham after he's been tested with offering up his son Isaac. And God says this in Genesis 22, verse 16, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies." And especially note this last part. "And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." We are blessed through Abraham's offspring, which is Jesus. Back in Hebrews 6, verses 16 to 18, they make the point that God made this promise with an oath. And in verse 17, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. Do you see? He wants to make us certain this is what God wants to do. And so, because it's impossible for God to lie, verse 18, he cannot break his oath. This promise cannot be revoked. Verse 18 says that there's two unchangeable things. One is this promise to Abraham, because it was sworn by an oath. The second one is another oath that he makes that God made in Psalm 110 about Jesus. Jesus being a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. That's quoted in verse 20, and again twice more in chapter 7. God's promise of an eternal inheritance through Abraham's offspring, that is the hope that we can take, that we take hold of. When we come to Jesus and accept his high priestly service to make that hope possible, we grab hold of a hope that is eternal, that will last forever. Our hope is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. But what's the anchor attached to? It's attached to Jesus, who has gone before us, ahead of us, into the presence of God, with his blood as a high priest, so that we could also follow him to be with God forever. Verse 19 says, it, the anchor, enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Do you have the hope of eternal inheritance with God? If you don't, you can gain it through Jesus. He sacrificed himself to cleanse you of your sin, all your actions, all your thoughts that are unworthy of God to be with, that make you unworthy to be with God, that mean that the access to him is barred. The big keep out is because of our sin. But Jesus has made the way open to God. And you can have it too, through faith in Jesus and his work of salvation. You know, please speak to someone today about it. Or if you just want to know more, speak to someone. We're here to help you if you're investigating Christianity or if you're open to it. Come and see me if you don't know who to speak to. But you know what? You don't need a human mediator. The only mediator you need is the Lord Jesus. You can go straight to God and ask for his forgiveness, for a relationship with him. But you know what? Then don't do it alone. Tell someone so that you can come alongside us and journey, continuing the journey with us. You know, I know that most of us here already have this hope of eternal life. And this hope is sure and steadfast. It's not just a wishful desire for something in the future. It's a certainty of something that we just haven't received yet. That's at least what it should be for us. You see, if your hope is that maybe I'll be good enough so that God will accept me, God will receive me, that is not certain at all. In fact, it's sure it's going to prove to fail completely. But if your hope is in God's promises and in the finished work of Christ, that is absolutely solid rock. Do you know anything else that you have as an anchor? And we all have anchors to our life, to our soul, that kind of keep us going through hard times. If it's anything else as your primary anchor that's in this world, it's going to give way. It cannot hold firm enough forever. Hold firm to this hope that is held out to you in Jesus. Hebrews 10:23 says, Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Hold on to this hope without wavering, and it will be an anchor for your soul. Why do we need an anchor? Well, one reason is so that we don't just slowly drift away, right? But there's another reason. Drift isn't the only danger in our life, in our spiritual life. Storms and rough weather are also the danger. In the stormy weather of life, we need to be anchored to a hope, to this hope that we have in Jesus. When the storms of life come, you know, we can take a battering. Some of you have probably experienced it in this last year. It can be painful. But no matter what we go through, none of it can take away the promises God has made to us through Jesus. So imagine this with me. You've arrived in your sea vessel off the coast of an island paradise. You're longing to get on that island. It's been promised to you and to many others. And you're there waiting just off the coast, but you've still got to wait a little longer. There's many other sea vessels coming in and waiting with you. So you've arrived at your destination, but you don't have it in full yet. You need to stay right where you are in that place. Still in the ocean with all the currents and the waves and the storms. That's the picture of our life now. We're going to still go through hard times, whether it's 2023 or future beyond that. But we can hold firm through Jesus. Your eternal inheritance has been won for you, so don't let yourself drift. Stay anchored to the hope that we have because of Jesus. Maybe you're really worried about this year ahead. Maybe you're really hopeful. Maybe you're not looking forward to much at all. Maybe you're just still a bit tired from a late night. Whichever way it is for you, why don't you make this year a year where you guard against drift? In fact, make it a year where you aim for spiritual growth, regardless of your circumstances. Make the continued commitment to battle sin, to eliminate the compromises in your life, to live a life of day-by-day repentance and faith. Make the commitment to gathering with God's people, but commit to more than just, you know, coming on Sunday, to Sunday attendance. Why not, as Steve mentioned earlier, if time and circumstances permit, join a small group if you're not in one. Invest time and love in the people here, and you'll find yourself immersed in great blessing as we journey together with Jesus. Make the commitment to be diligent in your own discipleship and service, to be committed to the gospel, that this word that you have received. Hold firmly to the hope that you have in Jesus, so that you will be anchored firm and unmovable. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have been so merciful to us, that though we do not deserve access to you, though we do not deserve to be able to be with you, you have opened the way through our Lord Jesus. Father, work in us that we would be strengthened in faith. Father, even that some here might come to know you through faith. Father, help us to be diligent, to hold firm to Jesus, to be anchored through the hope that we have in him, so that we would serve him and persevere to the end. In Jesus' name, amen.